The pain is there. I always say with every win, there's 9 losses behind it.
Yep.
That people don't know about. My dad thought it was a job for women.
Yep.
You're in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to the US, and I've had obviously racism, really sticking it out and learning the craft while you're not making money.
Sure.
Which is what everybody goes through, or what everybody should go through, I think. If you don't go through that, I don't think you're ready for the top spot. I always say, you know, almost sleeping in the streets in New York, literally living on $1.50 a day just to train in New York City. It's those hardships you're gonna go through, and you need to have the grit, because it's easy to give up. And that's what everybody does. You know, you want to be that 1% that doesn't give up.
Everybody, my name is Nozvede Kamganamayaba. Welcome to Don't Hold Back. I'm very excited about today's topic, or today's episode, because you already know my love for food, right? He has cooked for presidents, world leaders, celebrities. I am so happy to announce, ladies and gentlemen, I am hosting Chef Wandile.
Hey.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm great. Happy to be here.
There you go.
Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm very excited, innit? But I need to know the story behind the snack for today. Okay. But you're going to tell me later. But for our viewers who are listening or watching, there's a segment of the show where I ask a guest to bring in a snack to share.
Yes.
What did you bring?
Well, I was thinking knickknacks, I'm a keep.
Okay.
You know, all the things we grew up with.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know what, the weather calls for McDonald's chips.
Okay. That's very interesting,
yeah.
Because I'll be very honest, when they said, oh, Chef Wandile is coming to, I was like, yes, he's going to prepare like a delicacy or whatever. You know, I'm really looking forward. I am interested to learn the story behind the McDonald's chips, but we'll get into it much later on into the episode. Now, let me start from here. I have an older brother, 7 years older than me, and he grew up not doing anything at home. He didn't wash no dishes. He did not cook, he did not clean, by virtue of him being the boy in the house. And all of that responsibility fell on me.
Yeah.
So I'm quite interested to know, understanding the dynamics of, you know, our Black communities and the role of a man in the society and in the household. Yeah. How did you become a chef? And how did your family honestly react to that?
Well, it's ironic you say that now, because now it's probably the most popular profession, the most glamorized profession, the most, I'd say, rock star profession.
Yeah.
That a lot of people don't really understand a lot that get into that for those reasons. But it was difficult. I mean, I grew up in the 90s in Soweto, and besides knowing any chef, just a chef of color that you can relate to, or that your parents can actually look at and think, wow, my son can actually be this.
Mm.
It's possible. So there was no person to relate to like that. So it was difficult. And obviously my dad thought it was a job for women.
Yep.
You're in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's something I started doing very early, before I even knew it was a career. So I actually loved the act of cooking, or the craft of cooking, before fully understanding what it is, and that people actually do this for a living, and this is a career. And at a later stage, we started seeing your Jamie Olivers and people on TV, and you know, that almost like cemented it to say this can be a career. But it was difficult. My mother always supported me in that. She was very open-minded.
Yeah.
So therefore, I opted for hotel degree. So that's how I got into the actual kitchen. I had to go through a hotel school and then finally go through culinary school and then finally actually become a training chef to what I am today.
Did you imagine your own journey getting to where you are now, your resume of having to cook for these celebrities, the presidents, world leaders?
Yeah.
Did you imagine that? You were like, okay, no, I'm going there. This is where I'm going.
Maybe I imagined it, but I definitely dreamt it. And I think dreaming is something that we all go through.
Right.
I'm sure when you were growing up, you used to see Whitney Houston.
Absolutely.
And you used to dream some way or another about it. So I guess it did happen. But in terms of truly believing that you can get to that level, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd never left Johannesburg. I'd never left, at one point, I'd never left Soweto.
Right.
Let alone working in places like New York and Paris. So I think once you overcome one obstacle and then you see how far you can go, you start thinking, okay, maybe I can reach that. And then you go further and you think, maybe I can reach that.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it, I think, progressively.
Yeah.
And then now I think I'm thinking of other things.
Yeah.
That probably 10, 15 years ago, I wouldn't even imagine. Mm. So it's crazy, but that's life. And it teaches us that you can become whatever you want.
Absolutely. For you, looking back, what was that turning point for you?
I think the turning point is a personal thing, and you just realize it. And I think it's a sequence of events that end up getting you to that point.
Right.
For me, the fact that I ended up overseas and then going to New York and working in the food industry or the restaurant industry, but high-end Michelin level restaurants in New York, sort of validated that, okay, if you can get here, maybe you should take it all the way. Mm. Maybe you can take it all the way. And so this is a question that probably went on for about 4 years. So it's not an overnight thing. That's another thing that people need to understand.
Yeah.
But eventually, I think once I got there and I could cook in New York City, such a high pressure city, and being this kid from Soweto and nobody's heard of this place. Mm. All they know about it is apartheid and Mandela.
Right.
So it gave me hope. And then obviously moving to France after that and working in 3-star Michelin restaurants is when I got into contact with these high profile individuals you talk about.
Mm.
That's when you get to a really high level that gives you confidence to think that, you know what, if I'm in the highest level right now, the pain is there. I always say with every win, there's 9 losses behind it that people don't know about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I want you to name drop. Who are some of the famous people? I said celebrities, I said presidents, I said world leaders.
Yeah.
But I need you to name drop.
You know, I'm not a person that name drops.
I know, but have to name drop.
And I told you earlier on that I'm a person that like literally lives under a rock. Like, I don't know who got elected yesterday. I don't know who made it today. I don't know where the earthquake was this morning. You know, I'm really a person that sticks to myself and focuses on things that I want to pay attention to. Before I do that, it's important for people to understand that everybody that I put my plate in front of is just as important.
Yeah.
Every palate for me is just as important.
Mm.
Doesn't matter whether you are a celebrity or a president or a prime minister. For me, I treat everybody the same.
Yeah.
And I give 110% in everything or every dish that I cook.
Mm.
Whether you are a celebrity or whether you're just a person that's helping park cars.
Yeah. But I still want them to name drops.
Wow. Which year? Where do I start?
In any year.
And you know, it's funny how we just somehow started getting those high profile people. And a lot of people thought like it was a marketing strategy that we are paying for. And we're really not even paying for these people. And they're the ones that come to me, sometimes call me directly. You know, for example, we had Kelly Rowland's manager, whenever she's around, she calls me, you know, right on the spot.
Are you serious?
Right on the spot. And her first question is not, "Chef, can you close the whole restaurant? It's like, "Chef, can you please tell me you got space for us?"
Wow.
And they just come in like regulars, a table of 4 in front of people, and everyone's like, "What the hell? Is this really this
person?" I would be like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, but we've had a lot of interesting people. We've had DJ Louis Vega recently. I mean, straight from the airport to the restaurant. We've had, we hosted Gabriela Union's 50th birthday.
Yes, I know she was here for, like, she was doing a whole Africa trip. Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, with the family and the husband, Dwayne Wade, as well, was there. And they shot a whole documentary, which also aired on BET in the States, just showcasing the experience and the restaurant.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but very down to earth people. Yeah. Love, especially the African Americans, because yeah. they want to learn more.
Correct.
About us, and sort of proud and happy about what we're doing, and how we're going to showcase our culture to the world.
Yeah.
Who else have we had? We had Miss World.
Yes.
From Poland, came in earlier this year. We also had the Beyonce's manager from the Big Good Foundation. With her mom. We had, obviously, the president.
Okay, that's it for me. You know what? Let me also ask this. A young person, Kosoweto, Epai, in Kabeja, or wherever, sometimes when you tell our stories, it seems, they're talking from a point of privilege because we are seen as people now that have made it, right? Or we are the lucky ones.
Yeah.
I just want you to share also, you briefly spoke about this, about some of the challenges for everyone when there's 9 losses.
Yeah.
Like, just briefly talk about some of the challenges that you've experienced in this journey.
I don't even have time. I think this show is not enough time to name all of them.
Just briefly.
There's so many. Mm. And the thing is, there's people that focus on those things.
Yeah.
And you get to know more about that than the good stuff. Mm. But we just focus on the positive stuff.
Yeah.
We keep the negative stuff inside unless you ask, which then helps you overcome whatever you're going through. But there's a lot. I mean, firstly, where you come from and acceptance.
Yeah.
You always feel like I'm from here. I'm not good enough, especially when you're young and you don't know much about your culture and your tradition. You just think Soweto, you think poor, dusty. What am I doing in Manhattan? Or will I even make it in Manhattan? But then you get to the U.S. and I've had obviously racism. Mm. I was always the youngest, so I also got that treatment of being a boy in New York City. And also the challenges of really sticking it out and learning the craft while you're not making money.
Sure.
Which is what everybody goes through, or what everybody should go through, I think. If you don't go through that, I don't think you're ready for the top spot. I always say, you know, almost sleeping in the streets in New York, literally living on $1.50 a day just to train in New York City, and being paid minimum wage, just enough for rental.
In one of the most expensive cities in the world.
In the world, yeah. In the world. And you stick it out. You ask yourself, should I go back home? I should go home. And your parents don't know. You're on the phone with your parents. No, everything is fine. You don't ask for money. You stick it out. One of the biggest challenges, and also moving to France after 5 years in New York, learning a new language and trying to really make a new living in a city like Paris. You're signing leases in French. You don't understand what's going on. The pressure of working in 3-star Michelin establishments, working long hours, 20 hours a day, waking up with cramps. Those are the challenges. And obviously still being that African where people don't believe you're ever going to come out top. So those are huge challenges. And then coming back home to South Africa as well, and realizing that the industry is still very much the same as it was 25 years ago. There's no difference. There's no diversity. There's no forward thinking. There's no equality and opportunities. There's no skills development for our people. There's no entrepreneurial skills. So chefs can actually open up their own restaurants. And that's why we're still stuck with 98% of restaurants being owned by restaurateurs, as opposed to chefs, waiters, sommeliers. Because if that was the case, you'd see the quality in it. So coming back and also proving myself, coming from a 3-star Michelin establishment and coming back to the bottom of Africa, and we have a great food scene, especially in the Cape, but it's a very small drop.
It's
a very small drop in the ocean. So I felt I had to really prove myself. Mm. At one point, I remember wanting to do a pop-up in Cape Town, and I was told that before I do anything, I need to consult with a certain chef.
Okay.
Yeah. So being gone out of the country for 10 years, coming back, now I have to ask for permission to cook in my own country. And then being undermined.
With an international experience.
Yeah. Being undermined, being taken advantage of, also financially. So there's a lot of those losses. Like I said, it would take us the whole day to go through them. But like I said, we just focus on the wins.
What was your reason of having all of this experience cooking for the finest restaurants and coming back to South Africa?
I think it was, in the back of my head, it was the plan.
Okay.
To gain experience and come back and do something special this side.
Mm.
But obviously, because it took so long, and that's the one thing that people must understand, like okay. It takes time. Because it took so long, at one point I was like, I'm going to end up living in America, you know, I'm going to end up living in France.
Mm.
But eventually you could see the evolution and the fact that I was like, maybe it's time to come back. But I think I'm content.
Okay.
I've lived in all these places. I've experienced them. It's not like I've got this inner need to be like, I need to go back and live in the US or okay. I need to go back and live in Europe. I'm content. I can always visit them.
Yeah.
I can always stay there for a certain amount of time.
Mm.
I can always do business there. I can always do dinners and pop-ups, which I do as well. So I'm really content, and I consider myself a global person.
Okay.
So I can travel back and forth, and everywhere is my home. I always say second home,
yeah.
First home, Joburg, New York. But the reason why I came back is because I realized that we have the most opportunities here.
Before we continue, I just want to play a game with you very quick.
Yes.
It's called Rapid Fire Questions. Don't think about it, 10 seconds or less. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, okay?
Okay.
Ready? First question. Your favorite movie about a chef?
Ratatouille.
Person you've been most nervous about serving food for?
President.
Is it?
Yeah.
Did you get an opportunity to speak to him?
Yes.
Before and after?
Before and after and in between for probably about 5-6 hours.
What did he say? What's the one thing that you remember him saying? Compliment, whatever, feedback?
Yes, a lot of compliments, a lot of feedback, impressed, but also very quick to tell me how to cook.
Okay. Can you cook?
Well, we'll find out. But he seems to know a lot about meat, but he is a foodie, and obviously being a president is always in power.
Yeah.
You know, getting things his way.
Yeah.
So in a way, you tell me how to cook this, how to cook that, and obviously you say, yes, Mr. President.
Can I say this one thing before we carry on with the question? There's one person that definitely you need to reach out to.
Yeah.
It's our former Minister of Finance, Dido Mboweni.
Oh, yes.
Because honestly, I have ran out of yours. I have ran out of do not do that. I ran out of giving out tips. I think the whole of South Africa at this point in time actually have just ran out of actually giving feedback. If you can just reach out, just give him a few pointers of just even to fry a chicken. You don't put it on high.
I've heard about his love for cooking and what he does on social media with cooking.
Yeah, please.
I've actually met him and I've cooked for him twice.
Okay.
But we haven't really gotten into that conversation.
Okay.
We've thought about it
where
maybe I could give him a challenge. And he told me he's based there in the mountains somewhere in Limpopo.
I don't think he's at the challenge point. I think we need to start from basics first. I think we need to start from basics.
And then we'll get him first.
Yeah, I think we need to start from basics and then we'll get into the challenge.
Have you tested his food?
Absolutely, positively no.
So how do you know?
I eat with my eyes first.
Okay.
And then, you see what I mean?
Okay.
Presentation is very important. Third question. What is your guilty pleasure? Fast food. Oh, I think I already know.
French fries.
McDonald's.
Chips. Not McDonald's per se, but I'd say chips from McDonald's.
Okay.
French fries from McDonald's.
Okay. Yeah. Most underrated ingredient in South African cooking?
I think things like umfino.
Yes.
You know, wild spinach.
Okay.
When you talk about a local ingredient, you want to talk about something indigenous to here.
Mm.
And it's difficult to find elsewhere. And you find spinach everywhere.
Mm.
But there's that distinct flavor of our spinach.
Last question. Favorite load shedding dish?
Humble pie.
Humble pie?
No, I'm just kidding. I think probably Simba chips. There's nothing you can do.
I know.
It's sad.
Okay. No, it's fine.
Or you can go to McDonald's.
What is up with you and the chips from McDonald's?
No, because they're very comforting.
Is it?
Yeah, and they've stood the test of time. Since we were in primary school, in high school, and as adults, it's still the same.
Yeah,
it's consistent.
What does it take for a person that is also as passionate about cooking, about entering this industry, what pointers would you give them? What are some of the traits that you need to be successful in this industry? And as you say, stand the test of time, because as you've said, it's taken you a long time to get to where you are now.
I mean, first thing is the patience. You can't run away from that, and be eager to learn. You know, don't be pushed to learn. Be eager to learn, because there's people that learn. For example, when I went to culinary school, after culinary school, everybody just went to bars and go hang out. Mm. And after that, I would go home and literally go to the shop and buy stuff with my own money and go back home and start cooking and practicing by myself after school.
Wow.
And my friends used to be like, why are you playing with food, and be laughing? Like, what are you practicing? Who are you cooking for? Mm. And that's what I kept doing, because I was eager to learn. Mm. So you have to be eager to learn. I think that's how you get better than your peers.
Yeah.
Because if you're all learning the same thing, you'll all be on the same level. Be a visionary. Know exactly where you want to be.
Mm.
Jump from one place to another and hope for the best. Mm. When I was going through those hardships, for example, in New York, I used to just visualize my restaurant. And this was like maybe 10 years ago.
Wow.
And that vision of this is where I want to be actually helped me get over those hardships, saying this is what I'm doing it for.
Mm.
And the picture needs to be clear. So you need to be a visionary. And I think grit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is through any industry, because you will come across certain issues. Different issues, whether you're a person of color or you're a Caucasian, or whether you're a foreigner somewhere, or whether you're a female in a male-dominated industry, there's those hardships you're gonna go through, and you need to have the grit, because it's easy to give up, and that's what everybody does. You want to be that 1% that doesn't give up, and that's how you stay there and just keep on evolving.
Mm.
You know, staying where you are is also going to leave you where you are.
You know,
and time is changing. As we're speaking now, the world is changing.
Right.
In a digital age, chefs need to start thinking differently. Chefs need to do business differently.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of changes, and you got to change with the time. Otherwise, you'll be left behind, unfortunately.
Just before we get into the snack, one more question that I have. You're passionate about something, but it does not necessarily yield that much result from a monetary point of view.
Yeah.
A young boy who wants to be a chef but comes from a very difficult background, similar to you, grew up in Soweto, but you had the determination and the grit to stay through the course.
Mm.
But would you also advise someone to do that as well, considering some of the pressures that come from growing up in that setup? That you already know you need to go to university, spend 3 years in university, get out, go and find a job, get your family out of poverty, buy them a house. Considering how long it took you to get where you are, what would you say?
While I was going through that, I was also going through life and enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I was in prison for years and waiting for the breakthrough. No, I was traveling, I was enjoying myself, exploring life, I was learning things, I was growing up. But we're not all the same. So I don't think a lot of people would overcome what I've overcome.
Yeah.
Some would give up, some would, especially in this day and age, people are not built the same anymore.
Yeah.
Youngsters don't think the same. So I don't think a lot of people would survive that. They'll probably give up one way or another, or derailed, end up doing something else, end up in the US doing something else. So everybody needs that money now. Everybody wants to be the boss now. Everybody wants that title now. I think you have to be strategic in how you do it.
Like
you have
that.
To know yourself, how much you can take, what your backup plan is, what your fall-on plan is. Because not everybody goes overseas or to the US or to New York and makes it.
Yeah.
There's a majority that doesn't make it. So you need to have a plan B. And at one point, wherever I went, I was a person that never made it, but I had a plan B.
Wow.
And we forgot about that plan A.
Mm.
You know, now we only talk about that plan B.
No, I like
that. So, I mean, it's a different world now, but it's really time, patience,
yeah,
passion, obviously, and backfall and understanding how to deal with pressure. But most importantly, make sure that you acquire the skills.
Yes.
Because that's one thing that nobody can take from you.
Yeah.
For example, if my business had to collapse now and everything, I could wake up one day and go cook and put a value on that cooking and someone will pay for it.
Yes,
and that's something nobody can take
away. You can't take that away. Yeah, yeah.
So if you're building your career based on things that are not concrete, like skills, when that collapses, you're going to have a hard time coming back. So you have to get the skills. And don't make it fake skills, make it real skills.
Okay.
Don't have just the face behind the skills or the beauty behind the skills, like they say, but have the real skills, because at the end of the day, that's the product that people will pay for. That's the product that you'll be valued against. And that's something that as long as you live, nobody can take away.
I loved what you said, be strategic. Everyone cooks to some degree. Do you get what I mean? Usendlini, whether you cook burnt food, I know I cook. My husband thinks I cook the most delicious food. I know I don't. I know I do not. It's just that he doesn't have a choice. Okay? So every now and then people's like, no, everyone can cook. But I feel like when you say you invested in your skill, you acquired the skill, you became strategic with your journey. Because it took long, you did not wait there. You saw other opportunities that can complement what is already there.
Yeah.
I think that's what stands out for me about your journey. And the fact that you seem very grounded in who you are, about your journey, you embrace it as well. Yeah. I'm not sure whether it's because of where you come from or it's just naturally the person that you are. But you're very grounded in your story, very grounded. I think that's another takeaway for me.
Yeah, I hope that's a good thing.
It is.
But I think
for a person
I've always been like this.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
People used to tell me, you're the most chilled out person that we ever know. I'm like, okay. Like, why are you so quiet? I'm like, okay, it's just me. Like,
yeah.
You know, and when we get into conversations, I always speak about what I want to speak about rather than trying to make an impression of some sort. But I think that's really helped me.
Yeah.
Because understanding yourself is another thing that's
absolutely
very important. Especially in this day and age where people are influenced very easily.
Right.
As soon as you switch on your phone, there's like 10,000 different competitors waiting for your attention.
Absolutely.
Including your WhatsApps, including your emails.
Please do not.
You just have to keep your head.
Right.
You know, where you want to be, what you want to listen to, what you want to hear.
Yeah.
And that's why, as a result, I don't watch TV. I want to be in control of what I see, what I hear, what advertisements I look at. Otherwise, for me, it's propaganda, and that keeps me grounded.
I love that. Okay, listen.
Yes,
let's talk about them chips. Okay.
Yes.
What's the story again behind the McDonald's chips? Why couldn't you bring a delicacy? Why couldn't you cook me something?
I was told to bring a snack.
Okay, sure.
So I thought,
I'm sure you could have got something there. Like a snack anyana with a, you know, some malva pudding with spices that I've never seen before or heard before.
And I thought you were on a diet. Now you're talking about malva
pudding. Why do you have to remind me? Okay, what's the story behind the chips?
Yes, so the chips, obviously,
take a few, please.
It's something that we were eating from high school.
Okay.
Or even from primary school. And I think for me, it's something that stood the test of time. It still tastes exactly like it did.
It does.
It still makes me feel exactly like it did.
How does it make you feel?
There's that sense of comfort.
Okay.
There's a sense of nostalgia. So this is the good thing about food, any food.
Yeah, true.
If it's something that you grew up eating, right, whether it was made badly or whether it's from your grandma or your mom, and it reminds you of a certain time.
Absolutely.
It'll always make you feel good.
Yeah.
You know, so even 10 years later, as you taste it, that flavor actually triggers your memory and it evokes certain emotions that make you feel.
Absolutely.
So it's nostalgia. And these chips do the same thing as they did literally like 10 years or 15 years ago.
Okay.
So they're being consistent. And also the one thing that I think real from this shop,
okay,
you know, that I can trust, is potato.
Okay.
Because we've heard stories before, and I'm not a big advocate of fast food.
Okay.
But this is the one thing that I think makes me feel good still.
Okay. I'm going to have a couple more. Okay? I know I'm on a diet, but you did
feels
say...
good, right?
But you did say that potatoes are more healthy.
You don't need to
healthy.
Put salt in it, eh?
Sorry, this
is perfectly seasoned.
I know. Okay, I'm going to have one more. Chef Wandile, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. There's so many nuggets that I took from your story, your journey. Yeah. And I'm hoping someone that is listening from home or watching from home has also taken that. I appreciate you. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
May you go from strength to strength, from one level to the next. As you said, there are things that you're already dreaming, you know, envisioning about your next level. May you get there and may it suppress all your expectations. I'm going to come to your restaurant.
Thank you. And I'm waiting for you. And it's something that's going to take you beyond just food. You know,
okay.
We always say there's a message in between the courses.
Guys, that is where we leave it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been Don't Hold Back. This is where we say it loud, season 2. You can catch this episode and many other episodes on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, my name is Nozibele Kamgana Mayaba. Thank you for joining us. Don't Hold Back.